I've just arrived at Bletchley Park, in particular the National Museum of Computing, and it's looking shiny and wonderful, and I'm standing next to a Cray supercomputer, and two gentlemen have come from different parts of the UK. Local?
London.
London, not too far, and?
Bristol.
A little bit further. What's your name and your Twitter name?
Okay, so my name's Nigel Smart, and I'm head of the cryptography group at the University of Bristol, and so we have a Twitter name of Bristol Crypto.
I'm Rob Crowther. I'm a web developer and author, and my Twitter handle is at Robert C.
And I'm picking on you two because you were the first geeks up here, really. Even beat me. And yet you don't have coffee in your hands yet. How important is today the celebration of Colossus at 70, which seems incredible?
Okay, so Colossus was the world's first, and I'm going to get this wrong, digital computer, programmable, because you could move the thingies.
Did you have to add electronic in there?
I have to add electronic in there. Yes. You have to add electronic in there because we... Yes, but whilst the Americans might claim they had the first computer, we've got the real proper electronic digital programmable computer, and it's really, it's the start of the computing age which we all now rely on.
Which would make this place the world's first purpose-made computer centre.
Yes, I guess so.
What's your interest?
I've always been interested in computers, you know, since I was little, my VIC 20 and playing games and stuff, yes, absolutely. And, I've been coming here for a number of years since, you know, it was basically just huts in a park with junk in them. Yeah. And it's, I just come back every few months just to see what's new and what's changed. And
you've got a floppy drive, for an Amiga
absolutely.
Floppy drive on your T-shirt there. I just bought a floppy drive to USB.
I had one from a laptop, 10 years old. I spent a few weeks ago recovering files from one of my Amigas that I'd booted up for the first time in about a decade.
I found a Satellite Pro, which had been sat around for about 19 years, booted it up first time, and it had all these letters and things that I wanted to save. So I thought if I buy this, it would be the easiest way to transfer, because it was way before any wireless technology was around. So let's talk about cryptography. See, look, some people are experts, some people can't even say it.
First drink of the day.
More coffee needed. At the moment, I'm using a couple of different platforms. I will use TrueCrypt. I will use CryptoCat. I will use apps, which on iOS for me, I can't see the point because iOS, it's impossible to see what's happening inside any of these mobile devices. If I was this, and personally, I thought, I'm going to try and send a personal email. So I got a Scion that had never been online, and with the help of people here at the Station X Geek Meet at TNMOC, downloaded an old version of PGP that said, do not export to America, in the small print. And I wrote a text file, encrypted it, put it on a compact flash card. Then I took that compact flash card out, thinking, I have an air gap here. Yeah. And then I put the encrypted file into TrueCrypt and encrypted it on my Mac. Then I sent it via PGP encrypted software. And then the other person had to do the other thing. Is that the only way to do a private email nowadays?
There are other ways, but it depends how anal one is, or
paranoid.
Paranoid is maybe the correct phrase. So,
secrets that people will just want.
It was a game. It's a game. It's like a game of chess. You know, I want to send an email that no one else could read between the two people.
So the real problem with email is that it's a fire and forget technology. So there's always an issue that there's always storage. So it doesn't have what us cryptographers call forward secrecy. Now, you might have seen a lot in the press recently that people like Google and Microsoft are moving all their systems over to what's called forward secure systems. And email is a particularly bad thing because it's really impossible to move to a forward secure system because of its fire and forget nature.
So forward secure means that if it's unencryptable, decryptable now, it will also not be decryptable in the future.
That's right. So, for example, suppose you are a large government agency, say.
For example. Like a three-letter one.
Like a three-letter one.
Or a four-letter one.
And then you recorded all of the communications of the internet for a day, say, today, then even if the cryptography got broken in 40 years' time with forward secrecy, it would be much, much harder for them to recover the encrypted traffic today.
So please tell me you've invented cryptographic algorithms that self-update to the latest technology and incorporate some kind of quantum computing.
Not really, no.
I think that would in some ways be a bad thing. I mean, we're currently standing in a museum.
Mm.
And if you encrypt things in such a way, if it was possible ever to encrypt things in such a way that you'd never ever be able to read them, then all of that knowledge contained in those things that are encrypted is lost forever. And I think this will be
special case.
Well, yes, obviously, the pictures of my cats.
Yeah. You want to see
the museum can have them now, it's fine. but like, the secrets that were kept about Bletchley until the 70s, yes. We want to find those out eventually.
That's really interesting point. I've never thought about that.
Let's build in obsolescence so we can recover all the secrets of today. So we, in some sense, we need 100 years...
But not my personal secrets.
No, we need 100 years rule for your personal secrets. So when you're, you know, when 100 years' time after your death, your descendants will be able to recover all the pictures of your cats.
Is this being thought about?
No.
No. They're just thinking about lock it down so it's never... Because surely the government has a responsibility to release data... when asked, because who is the government working for?
Politicians.
The politicians.
You guys, I think we're going to get on great. So if I wanted to use an a certain type of cryptography right now, what would you recommend?
Okay, so it depends on the type of communication you're doing. So if you're doing a live communication over a channel, most people would resort to using TLS, except most, this is the thing you use on the internet to communicate between A and B. Go to a website. Trouble is most websites and most browsers don't support the latest version of TLS, so you should upgrade your browser to the latest version and only go to websites to implement the latest TLS version, which is virtually none of them. And then you'd be kind of secure-ish.
I could possibly... You're giving me away, because the other night I did stay up and tried to read the whole internet. If I just filter the internet to TLS updated it, pages, I could probably do it in a night.
Yeah, if you just only looked at pages that were encrypted with TLS 1.2, then you've probably... A night may not need... But the TLS 1.2 standard has been around for 10 years, and we still haven't got around to turning it on fully, although this is now changing.
And how about I want to send an email?
If you want to send an email, just forget it.
Write a letter. And hand-deliver it.
Hand-deliver it. I mean, so there are things like PGP. There are identity-based systems for you don't have to download public keys. The thing is with email is it's just really hard to use. If you talk to... I mean, we're of a certain generation. We're used to using email. But if you talk to people in the younger generations... They're not using an email anymore. Email is, in some sense, an old technology, and it's very rarely used by youngsters. They only ever see it when they either go to university or they get a job.
So how do you feel about the prospect of mail pile?
What's mail pile?
Oh, mail pile is something you should definitely look into. It's a decentralised system to replace Gmail, hopefully for the masses, where you effectively hosting your own encrypted email server in a very easy off-the-shelf way. Have you heard of it?
Indiegogo project.
It was an Indiegogo project, and I backed it as well. And the alpha is out now. The beta is coming soon. But you've got people like Cory Doctorow, you know, going crazy about this, saying about time. Mostly, I must admit, a lot of people who still respect the social network that is email.
Yeah, I know nothing about it, so I can't really comment.
Well, get back to work. We need to get back to work, and that is exist as geeks do with coffee in our hands. So let's move
over
as the place fills up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.